I'm going to talk to you all, primarily to the children, talking to myself as well, but I want to tell you something about Christmas, the first Christmas, and I'm going to tell you something about the first Christmas using this. What is it? Hands up. A cracker. Is it a cracker? You sure?
Sure.
Sure. How do you know it's a cracker? Because you pull it and it goes crack, eh? Or bang. Yeah? Okay. I'm going to leave that. If you listen very well, you'll have a cracker each to go home afterwards, all right? Not the adults. I haven't got enough to go around. But I'm glad I haven't got enough to go around because there's more adults here than I could. Now, this is one I did earlier. Well, I opened earlier, right? Now, you can see there's nothing in it because I've got them on here on the lectern in front of me. And I want to say, but Christmas, what do you expect in this Christmas? A surprise? Any surprises? Or are you going to say, well, I'm going to have what I told I'm going to have or what I believe I will have? Do you think on Christmas morning you open the parcel and say, wow, look at that? No? You will look, thank you, Karen. Thank you very much. You will look through. You can have Christmas presents on Sunday morning. Next Sunday, Christmas Day. Letty, Jacob? Yeah. Jacob goes like this, quite right. Yeah, okay. But with this cracker here, I know what's inside that cracker I just pulled, but within crackers, generally, you don't know what's going to be in them. Normally, they're quite boring, and they're nearly all the same. But sometimes you get a surprise, yeah? You think, oh, I didn't expect that. And sometimes, on Christmas morning, you'll get a surprise. And you like surprises, do you? Do you? Thank you, Seth. You're a good participant. Well done. I'm glad about that. Even if it's yes or no, I appreciate that. Very much so. The Virgin Mary had a surprise on the first Christmas morning. An angel came and spoke to her and said, you're going to have a son. And she said, how can I have a son? I'm not even married. Don't know a man in that respect. How can I have a son? And he said, well, I'll call him Uncle Paul. Should I call him Uncle Paul for today? Eh? Anyway, he surely won't mind. He's been reading that. Okay. The Holy Spirit came upon her. And Jesus was formed inside her, in her womb. A miracle of God. I was just surprised there. And then Joseph, when he found out later that Mary was expecting a baby, he was surprised. He was shocked. He couldn't get over it. So he thought, well, I really can't marry this woman now because she's expecting a baby. And he was going to put her away, divorce her secretly. He didn't want to make her an open show of her, but he was going to do it secretly. But God said, no, I'll speak to you. And he sent an angel to speak to Joseph. Another surprise. He said that holy thing in Mary's womb is the Son of God. Don't be surprised by that, because I can do all things. And I can bring my son from heaven and be born of a virgin. God's power. Now, when you pull a cracker, what happens, Talib? It what?
Explosion.
You get gunpowder in, don't you? Oh, be careful. You get gunpowder in your crackers. You pull it and it goes bang. It's a fright. Could frighten you. If you're not expecting it, it could frighten you. Yes, Bethan? Yeah. No? Yes. I'm glad you agree. You pull it and you expect a bang, but here with shepherds in the field, in looking after their flocks at night, and suddenly there wasn't a bang, but there was a light, a bright light, and an angel again stood before them. And they were terrified, they were scared. And the sheep would be scattering all over the place. Not sheep, you only get cows in the farm. You only get cows in the farm, wouldn't you? And cattle, not sheep. And sheep can get frightened. And they were frightened. These men, they're hard men. They used to chasing away wolves and chasing away lions and even bears. But they were frightened of this angel. And so would you be and so would I be. They had a shock. Now, when I opened that cracker earlier on, in crackers you generally get three things. What do you think you find in a cracker?
A jerk.
I'm glad you said that. Because that's the first thing I was going to talk about. Anything else? Yes, Jake. A heart, that's the third thing I'm going to talk about. Anything else?
Toy.
A toy. Who said that? Well done, well done. It's not exactly a toy I got you, but it's something which is amusing and you could play with it, yeah? And I didn't tell them these answers. Don't worry, I didn't tell them beforehand. But they pulled so many crackers that the same thing comes out year after year, right? Okay. There's a riddle here, a joke. Do you say a joke? You didn't. Do you know what a riddle is? What's a riddle? Starts with a P. P-U. Puzzle. Thank you, Beth. Thank you. A puzzle, right? And this riddle here, I won't read it out to you. It's pathetic, and they normally are pathetic. And the puzzles are pathetic as well, aren't they? You know, years and years ago, long, long time before Jesus came into the world, he came into the world about 2,000 years ago, but long before that, thousands of years before that, men were saying, God's going to send somebody into this world who's going to be a light to the people. He's going to be a branch that's going to grow into a big tree, and people are going to... And they thought, well, I can't make sense of this. And a virgin shall be with child. That doesn't make sense. It's a puzzle to them. And these prophets, they said about Jesus, and the people were scratching their heads, and the Jews went back to the Old Testament. They said, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. It was a puzzle, like a riddle. They couldn't work it out. And people are like that today. You talk to them about Jesus, and they scratch their heads almost and say, I can't work this out. He's a puzzle to me. How can you say that God can be man as well as God? How can you say that this man came to this earth and he was born of a virgin? I can't believe it. That's a puzzle to me. It may be a puzzle to you or somebody watching online this morning. I can't work out this Jesus. How can he be both God and man? Which he is. He was then and he is now. And it's a riddle to them, and they can't work it out. But the Bible is quite plain. In the New Testament, it says what the Old Testament prophets were talking about. Jesus came into this world to save us. That's God's plan. To save me, I need saving. To save you, we all need saving. And most of you are saved here, adults. There may be some who are not saved. By that I mean have not come to Jesus and asked for his forgiveness. There may be somebody watching online who have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's still a puzzle to them. They're still trying to work it out. And they come to the end of their day, still not working it out. And they will go into a death and meet Christ, and they say, now I know, you have to stand before him. He's a puzzle to them. Sometimes he's a joke, isn't he? Sadly. Jesus, don't talk to me about Jesus, they say. I don't believe he ever existed. And some say, well, he's a good man, but no, not for me. And they even use his name in vain. They use the name of Jesus Christ as a swear word, which is wrong. They joke about it, and they make fun about it, and they make fun about the gospel. That's the jokes there. Now, here's one which is not exactly a toy, Caleb, but it's something you can joke. You can't see it from there very well, can you? Jake has put his binoculars on. If I tell you what it is, it's a little jigsaw puzzle. Very little. You know, but it's something, you put it on the table Christmas Day, you say, oh, I can easily do that, I'll do that, and then you do it, and then you throw it in the bin. Jesus is like that to people. They puzzle over it. Or like a toy. You have this little toy, this little plastic thing made in China, which probably cost about 2 pence to make. You pop it in a crack and you pay for these things and you run it about the table and then the wheel comes off. You throw it in the bin. You're fed up with it. Jesus can be like that to some people, you know. He's all right for a while. And then I get fed up with the gospel. I get fed up with Jesus. No, it's not for me. I want to live my life. And you put him to one side. You forget about him. And adults can do this. They can forget about Jesus. They forget about really why we're celebrating Christmas. They're so caught up with all the things they've got before them. They've got them on all these presents. And yet there are people in the world today who will have no presents whatsoever. Nothing. They'll have nobody to give them presents. Nobody to wish them Happy Christmas. Nobody to tell them about Jesus. They learn nothing. And yet in the West here, we have so many things. And we forget what Christmas is really all about. They're puzzled. And they have these things which they give them. These little gifts in a cracker. Why do we give gifts? Do you know why we give gifts? Rian, why does your mummy and daddy give you a gift? Because they what? They don't like you? They love you, don't they? Yes, Lucas.
They want to make you happy.
They want to make us happy and joyful. They do it because they love you. Isn't that right, Karis? Yes, they do love you. And we give each other gifts because we love them. And God loves people. God loves sinners. God loves us. And he gives us the best gift of all. And when you look at a gift, you say, oh, just what I've always wanted. Or, oh, not socks again. Not more ties. No, not more gloves. But then they're useful, aren't they? Of course they are. Never say no thank you when you're given a gift. Never say, oh, I don't like. You may say to somebody who gives you a gift, oh, thank you very much, and say to your mom, I got some of these. Always be thankful for a gift. However small it is, always thank the person who gives you a gift. Thank you very much. Now, when God gave a gift, what did he give? He gave Jesus his son. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, only one son he ever had. God the Son, Jesus Christ. He said, I love that world so much. Although they've rebelled against me, although they've sinned against me, I love them so much, I'm not going to destroy them. I want to send my son into that world to save them. And he sent, he came. And God gave his son freely. And he asks of you and me to take the gift. To take the gift. If somebody gave you a lovely gift and he said, oh, no, thank you very much, and give it back to them, they'd be offended, wouldn't they? Of course they would. I would. But God's given us the best gift. The best ever gift. And people say, no, thank you, God. I got my own life to live. Thank you very much. And I'm okay. But you're not okay. We're not okay. There may be somebody you're watching online who say, well, I don't know. I've had gifts and there's some gifts I don't want. And this Jesus you're talking about, I don't want that gift. My life's okay. Thank you very much. I can manage quite well without it. But you can't. God gives you life. Christ gives you life. And now when you accept him as a gift and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins, then Jesus Christ will give you new life. You'll be able to think about new things. Your heart will be changed. Your language will be changed. You may be somebody, maybe listening to me today online, and you say, I can't control my language. I hate myself. Christ can change that. And he does change it. He gives us new life. And he asks you to take him into your life. And he asks you to give your life to him. Indeed, the Bible says that we need to repent, all of us. That is to turn back from where we are walking and turn back to God, and only through Jesus Christ. Don't think that we can come to God without going through Jesus. He is the only one. Now, as Lucas said earlier on, there's nearly always one of these things. All right? What is it? Hands up, anybody who knows what that is. All the hands go up. Jacob. Ah, Jacob, it's a hat. But what sort of hat is it, Jacob?
A grey
hat, I like that. It's a crown. It's a crown. Who wears crowns? Who wears proper crowns? Who wears crowns with diamonds and jewels and all the rest of it in there? Yes? Jacob?
A king.
Or a queen. And there are lots of kings and queens today, even today in this world. And they wear crowns. Back last September, on my actual birthday, the Queen Elizabeth II died. She was a Christian. She went to heaven. But when she was crowned Queen of the British Isles and the Commonwealth and all the rest of it, they had this beautiful crown. It's the crown that they put on her head, and it glistened and sparkled in the lights, and they said, "Hail Queen Elizabeth II." Now, Queen Elizabeth has died, isn't she? So her crown was taken off her head before she died. Obviously, she didn't die with a crown on. And now it's going to be placed on... Whose head is going to be placed on now? Yes, Lucas.
King
I've jumped King Charles II. He's long gone. King Charles III. Well done. Yes. And they'll be putting it on his head, and he'll become king. And when he dies, who will he be putting on then? Who will have the crown after him? That's a puzzle. Yes, Clarice.
Prince William.
Prince William. Yes, Prince of Wales. Really? Who will have it after Prince of Wales dies? Who's the next in line from Prince of Wales? Don't say John. George. Who said George? He did, yeah. Well, he's right. Well done, Seth. Prince George, yes, that's right. So what he's saying is this. You're only a king when you're crowned king, right? And this, when you put this on your head, it's a pretend crown. It's a grey hat, isn't it? Nothing more than that. Paper hat. Quite right. But Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And Jesus died too. He didn't have a crown on his head. But Jesus died. But there's one difference between Jesus and the kings and queens of the earth. He came back to life. He died for a reason. Now, Jesus, when he was upon this earth, when he grew up to be a man and healed lepers and forgave sins and raised the dead, did all sorts of miracles, preached wonderful sermons and gave glory to his Father and told people to turn to him. What did he do to him? What sort of crown did they put on his head? Sorry?
Thorns.
Yes. Thorns. On the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, when Jesus came before Pilate, this is why he came into the world. He lived a perfect life for 33 years, which you and I can never do. And he came to live it instead of us. And then they came and they said, "We don't want this man. He's an imposter. He's pretending to be a king. He's pretending to be the Son of God. He's blaspheming the name of our God." But he was saying the truth. And he went before Pilate to be tried. And Pilate tried him. And Pilate could find no fault in him at all, because he was sinless. And yet, they took him, and they beat him, they flogged him, they put a crown of thorns on his head, they led him out to Calvary, they nailed him to a cross, and there they left him die. His blood was shed. Why? This is why Jesus came into the world as a baby, to live that life which we couldn't live, and then to die a death which he didn't deserve, which we do. But he says, "If you believe on me, I'll take the punishment of your sins. And you'll go free. And you'll go to heaven. And you'll love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." There's a lady in America who is in a wheelchair. She's been in a wheelchair for 50 years, thereabouts, more than that, actually. And she says, "When I get to heaven," she said, "I want to fall on my knees and worship Jesus Christ." Because now she can't take herself out of the wheelchair. They're going to be lifted into bed, lifted into the wheelchair. And she said, "Because I'll have knees I can worship on." And she said, "More than that, the little child within me," she says, she's now 72 years of age, I think it is. She said, "When I get to heaven, I'll be looking forward to a crown." Because we are told in the Bible that if we love Jesus, and only if we love Jesus, we will have a crown of glory that does not fade away. That crown that's kept in London there to put on King Charles III's head one day will be thrown away, discarded, destroyed. But the crown that Jesus gives lasts forever. I give that to those who love him and serve him. And take this gift of Jesus this Christmas time to love him, not to puzzle over him, not to throw him aside as something discarded you don't want anymore, but as one, as God who came to save you children. You're young yet. Believe and trust Jesus while you're young. You'll never ever regret it. Never. Never. He'll be with you through all your life. He'll be with you on the day you die, the day I die. Are we all going to die? And we've been reminded of that really recently. One amongst our family here was called, after 3 weeks, she was called into heaven. She trusted Jesus, you see, when she was young, like you were young. And then you'll be sure, having your sins forgiven, to have a place in heaven, and living for Christ while you're here. That goes for all of us. It may be some of you in line who are 70, 80, 90 years of age and said, I've never done that. How can I do that now? Well, you can. You can, as a young child, bow the knee and the heart to Christ and trust him. And your life will never be the same again. And you may have confessed Christ and believed in him, and now the things of the world are attracting you. And Jesus, who suffered and bled and died, have been put to one side. God says, come back to me. Return to me. Are you my child? I bought you. Come back to Christ. Here's the greatest gift then that anybody could ever have. The gift of Jesus and the salvation he gives us. May God bless you this Christmas. Christmas Day is not another week away. How can you wait? Another week to wait. And then, God willing, we'll have a little service here on Christmas morning. Won't be so long as this. And the children won't be taking, oh, you can take part, you wish, by all means. And but we'll have time to thank God for the best gift we